All right, I'm back. You hear me okay? Okay. I know I don't. I don't have slides today. I'm sorry. We had technical difficulties, so use your imagination. The title of my message, which would have been on the screen, so just imagine, was in case of emergency, break glass. So, you know, you've seen the signs, you've seen the little devices where you see on the walls or whatever. It's break glass in case of emergency, or pull the lever in case of emergency. But I wanted to say I've been developing this message since November 14th, 2019. And I know you're going to say, sit back and go, well, you had 2 years to write this. I hope you do a better job than what you did. But, so I hope you don't say that at the end, because it's from the heart. I just wanted to share with you guys. But I'll explain that date later. But anyway, back to the emergency thingy. You know, you've seen it, and normally when you break the glass, you push a button, pull a lever, whatever. It activates an alarm for somebody to help take care of that emergency, that problem, that crisis, whatever it is. And some of the images I looked for, again, visualize, whatever, they had, you know, in case of emergency, break glass, and behind the glass there was like candy or chocolate, teddy bears. You know, one had like a picture of grandkids, or maybe I took it wrong. Maybe it's the break. The emergency was the grandkids. The grandkids were coming. I don't know. Another one had rifles and ammunition in case of the zombie apocalypse, which, you know. Or leaders, celebrities, whatever. But some people have behind that glass to break. They have other things. It could be drugs. In case of emergency, they turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to some type of immoral activity, whatever. So my question for today is, what or who do you turn to when you have a major emergency? You have this big catastrophic event. You have this disaster that just suddenly happened to you. What do you do? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll move on. Lord, we thank you for this day that we can come to your house. I'm not this great speaker. I'm not a master theologian. But I hope today that people understand. I'm preaching from my heart. I want to give you glory and honor. And just want to thank you for this day, and I pray that you get the praise today. And then maybe in some miraculous way, there'd be something in my message that would touch somebody and encourage them to keep going and endure. And these things, pray in your name. Amen. Oh, I didn't expect this already. So, I'm sorry. Catastrophic events, disasters, major emergencies. We all face them, right? Has anybody had a perfect life? You know, no trials, no tribulations? You know, raise your hand. Yeah, I don't see any. So we all face them. It could be a health crisis, health issue. It could be a loss of home. Sorry. Let me get my composure. Financial ruin, loss of employment, death of a loved one. You know, life is full of hills and valleys. That was going to be my image. I had a beautiful image of mountains and valleys. But, you know, life is like a roller coaster. You know, I always like this example. It was from Mark Lowry. I saw him in concert many years ago. And he talked about how life is, you know, hills and valleys. Like that, ups and downs. But he also mentioned that, you know, as Christians, We're promised a more abundant life, right? So if life is like this, we have a more abundant life. So that means it's like that, you know. And as he continued on, you know, he says, hey, you may have a good year this year. You're up here. He goes, but next year, watch out. And, you know, it's so true. You know, and at the same time, we want that easy button, you know. Remember that? The old Office Depot? Someone gave me one and it sat on my desk not for long because people would always come by and hit that button. That was easy. That's easy. And in the commercial, it was like you push the button and boom, life was wonderful, right? It was easy. You got your office supplies. But we're not promised an easy life, you know. Pastor Tim has mentioned it so many times up from here, and others have as well. In messages, and we're trying to encourage you, you know, that because we're trying to tell you, and it's not, you know, anything new. Life is not easy. It is hard, but we do have hope, right? And that's the whole purpose, I feel, in God's word. You know, it's hope. And if you seek the word, you'll find hope. I got so much going on here. I wanted to be organized so I don't take up, you know, too much time. I'm going to boom, boom, boom. So I had a lot of examples. I won't try to bore you with my life too much, but because I wanted to, the one key point that I wanted to bring up is coming. But, you know, over time, I mean, I was in the ICU for bleeding ulcers. I lost a lot of blood. Had to have 8 units of blood. And it wasn't a good week. But during that week, my niece, who had just turned 13 a month before that, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And they took her to Louisville. But they wouldn't tell me while I was in ICU because they didn't want me getting shocked. So that was a big, depressing, down time. And especially when I found out about her, it really... at least I was well enough to handle it. But less than a year later, my dad was killed in an accident on my grandfather's farm. I mean, one day he was at my house. We were going to do projects at my home, and we were going to do some things together. And the next day, he was gone. Life changes just like that. And then 2013 was just a tremendous year for us as a family. I mean, I had job stress. It was always there. But then I had relatives that died. I had an aunt who was 105 years old pass away. And then I had an uncle who passed away. My dad's brother, who was with him when he died, he passed away. And then later that year, his wife died. So I had both my aunt and uncle pass away. I hope I don't tip over here. Diane had a pacemaker implanted. During 2013, my sister was battling cancer. I had a health scare. But then it was like in the end of September, my granddaughter died. And she was only 8 hours old. Not 8 weeks or 8 days, 8 hours. And the first time I got to hold her, she was already gone. So it was... And then 2 weeks later, my sister succumbed to the cancer. So it just, I'm not unusual. I know I look out here, everyone's had a year or time like that in 2013. I mean, again, it just happens in life. Rob, Diane's son, died unexpectedly. And then 7 months later, my mom died. I know I'm not special, you know, and again, like I said, every one of us has dealt with something. And there are terrible events, some are just, you know, death is part of life. We understand that. And so I'll get to the point where what inspired me for this message, though. I'd been through some terrible times, but then I came up with this one. But, you know, some of this that I'm talking about today is going to follow along with our community group. Some of it, you know, you've heard probably dozens and dozens of times over the years, but like I said, it's a personal experience. I'm going to try to share with you in the next hour and a half. I'll make that joke again. Where's Stephen? I listened to one of my old messages, and during that whole message, I was making jokes about Stephen and his hour and a half message. And then I looked at the time that I took. It was 58 minutes. I took almost an hour, and it was not, you know, including the singing or anything. It was just me yakking. So I know we'll get booted out, so I won't go an hour and a half because another church is going to come in. So I won't take that long, I promise. So I said earlier I started working on this in November of 2019, November 14th. And I just said I started working on it. I haven't been working on it all that time. You know, I took gaps, so bear with me. But on 2013, I did rehearse this. November 13th, 2019 was an ordinary day, I thought. Went to work, went upstairs to my desk, my office. As I was on my way to my office, past my boss's office, and he was there. I'm like, well, that's unusual. This was like 7:20 a.m. He always rolled in around 8:30. So I got my coffee, checked my emails, you know, got ready for the day and noticed there was a help desk ticket that someone in another department had been terminated. And I'm like, oh, no, they're doing that again. They're cutting people. And I was already sad. And by that, then my phone rang. And it's like, it was from HR. And it was like, when you saw the name on your phone from HR, this person, it's like, you know what is happening. And so it didn't take him a genius to figure it out. My boss was here earlier, and I saw a termination already. I go downstairs, and there was Mr. Early Bird and HR, and it was like, okay, I knew what it was. After 30 and a half years, I was terminated. Obviously, I was devastated. I mean, it was a big part of my life. I mean, almost 31 years. That's, you know, I went through middle-of-the-night calls, after-hour calls, you know, late nights, up, worked through weekends, and worked through a strike, you know, crossed a picket line, worked on the line. You know, I'd done a lot for the company, but it was a decision they made in their cost-cutting way, so it hit me hard, like, you know, it really did. I felt unneeded. I felt useless. And it just kept getting more and more internal like that. I had a dream not long after that, and I mean, to this day, I still I have them occasionally, but this one was so true. It was like there was a meeting room. All the people in my department were in that meeting, including the VP over us, and I'm like, oh. So I go to the door, I was about to walk in, and the VP says, you're not needed, Tim. Even in my dreams, it still hit me. So, I mean, we all want that, we all have that need, so I'm not unusual. We want to be, be part of a team. So I didn't know what to do. I mean, I've been working 30 plus years, so how do you do this? So I went to, I did a lot of webinars, you know, phone calls. I joined a local IT club to try to keep myself up to date on things. I taught myself some programming language on the side, you know, during this time. But, you know, not only was I facing all this, you know, I have no self-confidence. You know, my age is a factor, too. I didn't have really relevant skills because I was really focused in one company, one system, one area. But in all of that, stupid COVID hit. And that just made it even more of a challenge because, you know, companies weren't hiring. They weren't doing anything because at that time, this was 2020, right? First, like, spring or so. It was so uncertain. You didn't know what to do. So that made the job search more fun. And I was always up in this room from early morning to the afternoon. Little buddy beside me, Wiley, had to mention him. He was an encouragement. Because you know what? Despite anything that's going on in your life, those little fellas, those little females, those creatures, they love you anyway. And he did. But when I was doing all this typing interview, trying to get interviews, hitting LinkedIn, doing all this, brushing up my resume, I said, when I get through this tunnel, I'm going to do a message or something. I'm going to talk about it. And I wanted to talk about it to encourage you. So no matter what the challenges are, we can still get through it. You know, you get through it. It may not go 100% away, but we can still get through it, right? God's not always moving the mountain, but he gets you through, you know, around it. Or he didn't remove the Red Sea, he parted it so they could go through it. So, and at the same time, I said, we could still serve God. Because, you know, I didn't stop coming. I still came to church because I needed to come to church because this is my source of encouragement, and I hope people take that as a truth, that when something happens in your life, this is where you need to be, because I got so much encouragement, and it kept me going. And I don't want to go too far into this, but Pastor Tim was giving me all types of verses and reminders of where to look in God's Word. And in your encouragement as well. I mean, it didn't work out like a fairy tale. Or, you know, some people get a job like within weeks, or you know, not even that. Sorry, I wanted that straightened. But you know, it took me a while. So anyway, I kept reminding myself, what's our number one priority? And our number one priority, and I pulled this verse out of Matthew verses. Chapter 22, verse 37. Oh, I didn't realize it was going to get so dry of throat. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You know, it doesn't say to love the Lord only if you're fully employed. It doesn't say to love the Lord if you're rich or healthy or anything like that. We're supposed to show it with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And how do we show that love? I said you share that love, and show that love, and you share it by sharing his truth and his love to others. That's why we keep coming. So I was hoping not only getting encouragement and blessing to others, I'm hoping that some small way I was still showing love to God by sharing with each other as well. So it's hard to say things like when you're in the valley, like, I lost my job, praise the Lord, but he saved me. So no matter what, I'm saved. You know, I remember Pastor Tim saying this, you know, ah, oh, I dipped my car. Well, praise the Lord, I'm saved. Even with the bigger things, you know, a dent in your car, that's nothing. But I have diabetes. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I live with that. I lost my job. Praise the Lord. But I'm saved. This one's a little tricky. You know, I lost my loved one. I lost my mom. I lost my sister. It's hard to say praise the Lord. But if they're saved, if they were saved, you could say praise the Lord because you're going to see them again. And that is a true blessing. This past summer, one of our friends, his mom died. And when I see one of my friends, this guy's already in his 60s. And I think his mom was like in her 90s or close to her 90s. And he was all happy knowing that his mom, you know, was saved. We're going to be together. You know, I mean, you see lots of tears at funeral homes, but it's always encouragement when you see somebody smile at a funeral, knowing that they're going to see their loved ones. So what happens when your world crumbles? I got this outline. It was from the book. It comes from the Ezekiel. It's just a short one. It was just kind of 4 points, real quick points here. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 30, this is when I'm not going to read it because we got so many verses, and I was going to try to paraphrase, so if I do it wrong, Pastor Tim can correct me. But in Ezekiel 1 through 30, I'm trying to do this short. There's a great storm that comes, and Ezekiel sees the creatures, and basically out of those 30 verses, it's describing these creatures to him. So his life was uninterrupted, right? Just like ours. We don't have a big storm with big beasts coming at us, but our life gets interrupted, like Ezekiel's here. Then he sees God's awesome glory in verse 28. And I'll read this one. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when he saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. God's glory shone through that darkness, through those clouds. And once he saw it, he fell on his face. That's what you need to look through these dark times. Look for God's glory. And then he was also empowered for a mission that was improbable for most people. But in Ezekiel 2, it says, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. And I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.'" So he had a mission. He had a call. We get a call too. You don't think about it when these things happen, but we get a call as well. You know, I'll keep going here. Because in the last part of this, in Ezekiel, he had to make sense of this disaster. In verse 10, in Ezekiel 6, and it says, "And they shall know that I am the Lord, and I have not said in vain that I would not, that I would do this evil to them." So his life was interrupted. He saw God's glory. He realized he had a mission. He was told a mission. And he even made sense of this disaster, this big event. I know that, or he, people will know that I am the Lord. And that's what I think we do. We get these great storm clouds. We get these. It's not fun during the time of what you're going through. I went through 8 months. I can't say I was quite as encouraging as I am right now, but that's what we do. We're supposed to see that God is there. Look for him to shine. Look for the mission. What, you know, there's a mission we still have despite what's going on in your life. And try to make sense of it. Know that he is still God. And you want to say, where is God? Does he hear me? Does he hear my prayers when I'm crying at night or on my walk, whatever? You know, was he listening when I'm talking about me? You know, when I'm on my walks begging and pleading with him that I need a job? You know, I know I mumble sometimes, probably right now. I'm sorry. And Siri can't understand me, right? You ask for directions to, I don't know. I can't even think of a word. Louisville. And I think you're saying Little Bill? But God's got better hearing, I think, than Siri. Because he's God. So God hears us. He's not deaf. I remember an episode of, I don't like MASH. Everybody's seen MASH. The priest, Father McKay, I remember watching this many, many years ago. And some explosion or something that caused him to become deaf. And I remember him praying, which, you know, talking to God. And I remember these words. He says, have you gone deaf too? And I know it just seems like sometimes you think, God, is the prayer going beyond my ceiling here? Have you gone deaf? But I got these words, this encouraging words. I'm going to jump over here to this. From Pastor Tim, like I said, great encouragement from Pastor, from everyone during these times. It's from 2 Kings, verse 1, or chapter 1, excuse me. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but I'll try to give it in a nutshell, and hopefully I do it right. But after the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now, I wish I didn't choose this because now I got to try a name. Now, Ahaziah, I think I got it, fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria, and he lay sick. So he sent messengers telling them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there's no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? And there's more to the story, but the thing that I wanted to stress is that they were sending messengers out to inquire another god, when God was telling them, is God not in Israel? Is God not in Evansville, Indiana? You know, is God not in Kalamazoo? You know, wherever. You know, we don't have to go to other places. We go to God. And what's really cool, if that's the right word. I'm in this dark time. I got this encouraging message from Pastor Tim. I got to share it. I was unemployed, and I was still unemployed for a week, more months. And then my cousin was going through some health problems. Some really serious ones. He's had some really serious times. I got to tell him this. I got to share these verses. I got to have this testimony with him. And I got to say, you know, is God not in Henderson? He is. God's in everywhere. He's here. So we don't have to seek other gods, other things to find our cure, to find the answer to the solution, or find the solution to the problem, or the whatever. So now that we, you know, determine he's here, we don't have to ask where he is. We don't have to go anywhere else. I wanted to talk about who is God. And Pastor Tim did this beautiful service series. I did do a rehearsal, really. I did. Called God Who, all right? Yeah, God Who. And it's still out there. Go out and look at it on the internet or listen to it. But there are some things I wanted to point out. You know, God is there. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. And how do you How do you find God? How do you see the sun? I don't have a Bible, but you read God's word. You know, whether it's a Bible or if it's online, however you read it, that's where you see the sun. And God is holy. You know, he doesn't make mistakes. God is pure, absolute purity. And that's what it said in Psalm 99, 1 through 9. And he's merciful, he's forgiving, and he's full of love. This is what you get for smaller fonts. Psalm 51, 1 through 12. And God is eternal. He's in eternity. God's already been there. God's already there. He sees it. He knows what's going on. You go through 8 months of unemployment, you begin to wonder, but he's there. He's already there. And the last thing I wanted to point out about God, who is God? God is in control. And that's why it says in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I'm going to read Matthew 6 because Matthew 6 was one of the key verses in my life during this time and now. But he is all powerful and in control. So going back to my story, you know, what do you do when you're hit with something? You say, why me? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just me, but a lot of times you want to say that. Why me? What did I do wrong? You know, I'm doing all this for you, Lord. I'm serving in your church. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm doing the internet site. I'm an elder. I'm doing, you know, blah, 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 you know. You know, and I'm trying to find work, you know, trying to get a job, and it's just one failure. I don't know how far I can go, so I better stop. It was just like a failure, you know, and I wanted to be part of a team. I wanted to be part of a group to feel like I was needed, because that goes back to grade school, you know, playground. You want to be part of the team, the boys, and playing. In my case, it was playing Star Trek. They already had all the kids locked up who was going to play Spock and Kirk, even the red shirt guys. And I was too late. And they said, well, here, you can be on the Enterprise while we go down to the planet. And I'm up on the monkey bars pretending I'm the helmsman and then realize, well, they're not coming back. All right, I did some psychoanalysis there, I'm sorry. But, you know, you look around, you say, why me? I need to be part of the team. I'm useless, blah, and all that. I served you, and I look around, I'm saying, look at these people who still have the job there. There were those who mocked you, God. They were laughing after Easter and making jokes about he is risen. And they swore, they cursed, used your name in vain. They go out drinking when we go conferences. And, well, they're not going to listen to this anyway. But we went to do an installation one time, and they drank so much that two or three of them had to stay in the hotel because they didn't feel well after drinking, you know. And I'm like, God, I went there to these conferences. I didn't get drunk. I didn't get drunk or sick, so I had to miss work the next day, but yet they are still employed. It just seems like everything's going good for them. And you see that in your life, too. No matter what, you know, you see the prosperous. You see people still doing okay. And Matthew 5:45 says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I feel like at some point the rain's going to come to them. It may hit us sometimes earlier than them, but they may be going through the rain right now. I don't know. And in actuality, what I just said, I probably shouldn't have said, you know. I shouldn't have been questioning God about them being prosperous, even though they did this, this, this. To be honest, I didn't know what they were going through as a person. They could be going through death. They could be going through a sickness that they didn't share. So the rain's going to be on all of us. So we don't need to ask that question, why me and not them? So I got the reminders that God said, you know, walk with me through the waters. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And God will lead me through the valley. I remember I had to recite, we all had to recite Psalm 23 growing up, and this was actually in school, back when God was allowed to be in school. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Pardon me. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. Hebrews 13:5 says that. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So eventually I asked myself, I changed it from why me? I changed it to why not me? I'm not that unique. So I finally was determined to change it from that, why me? What can I learn from this, God? What can I do to share you with others? And what can I do to show your love? So during this time, you know, I'm reading verses while I'm searching work for work and all this. I'm reading verses. Oh, I got a typo there. I'm reading verses and I'm praying. A person I met through one of these conferences that I attended, she knew what happened to me through LinkedIn, and she shared with me about a book. And I wanted to give credit because some of this comes from that book. But it's by Max Lucado, and it's called Anxious for Nothing. And the key verses from this is from Philippians 4, because when you read the text, that's part of the title of his book. But let me read Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds and in Christ Jesus. It's all familiar, right? You've heard it? I lived by that. And then further on, some other texts I will also talk about it. But we're not to be anxious. We're to wait on the Lord. Let everything be known to God. And another thing that came from this book, and I had a slide, but just visualize. He had a saying, which I really liked, and I still like it. There is a reason the windshield is larger than the rearview mirror. Your future matters more than your past. You know, try going home today, driving out of this parking lot using just your back or your rearview mirror. But wait until I leave because I don't want to. Let me leave first, then you can try it because no one's going to do that, right? I hope you're not. Unless you're a real trained stunt driver, but most of the people, we use the windshield, don't we? That's how you see the future. That's how you see where you're going. It's easy for me to live, you know, during that time, you know, live in the past and you know, hey, I gave you all those years. I did this. I did that. You guys didn't treat me right. It's all in the back. Let's go forward. Let's see God. I know that picture is back there, but look for God at the end. So what do you do when something happens? You praise him. You know, I didn't walk out of the building that day singing, "Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful?" You know, Zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay. My, oh my, I got canned today. No, I did not. But we're to praise him, right? Pretty hard, but it's more like, this is the love of Jesus, wonderful. It almost sounds like this on Sunday mornings, too. You know? Let's get out and sing. Because here's something I read. In 2 Chronicles, this is pretty cool, I thought. Very small piece to capture, but in 2 Chronicles 20, the Moabites had formed this great big confederacy of armies, right? I hope I'm saying this right. And they were marching toward Jehoshaphat. Ha, did I say that right? Jehoshaphat. You know, they could handle probably one army, but this was a multitude of armies. And God responded, because Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord. Isn't that something of a leader, you know, seeking the Lord? Wish they would do it now, but that's what we're to do, right? And he proclaimed a fast. And God responded from verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 20. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He, Jehoshaphat, totally believed in God. But here's what he did. He put the singers first on the front line. That's how confident he was. And that was a spiritual battle. So when we're in spiritual battles, and when we're, or something comes at us here in a war, or literally, we get the praise team to put them first. So everybody get behind the praise team. And we'll throw in Pastor Tim because he's got the horn. But no, praising God is vital. That's what you do. No matter what, God's basically saying, you know, when he said, but the battle is not yours, it's God's. He's telling you, I got this. Let's give him glory. So in Psalm 34, David reminds us that we should praise God through the good times and bad. You know, it's another time that was a difficult time for us. 20 years ago, Diane's brother died, and he was only 36. And he had been practicing on a little toy, what do you call them, xylophones. And he was able to pick out, like, the beginning of, I'm so happy, here's the reason why. So at his funeral, let's just say I didn't get to sing it because I was bawling when I tried to sing it, but we sang like the first verse of, I'm so happy, here's the reason why. Thankfully, he got saved a year before he passed away. So even in that bad, sad time, we praise God. And another thing we want to do, I'm trying to keep close watch on this time. I'm in there. Hold on. I don't think I'm going to hit the hour mark. We press on. Now, I wish he was here. I was wanting to give him glory, or not give him glory, but tell Dennis how much I appreciate his book he wrote years ago. Because he wrote a book called Press On. And it was really encouraging to me for what all he went through and what he still goes through. He wrote this book called Press On. And so when I had interviews and I would tell people, you know, nope, didn't work out, I would always say, I'm still pressing on. You know, I didn't get that one, but I'm going to press on. You know, I just kept going. I kept telling myself, I'm not a failure. And then you trust God. You praise him, you press on, you trust God, which one, I think you get the gist. But what was encouraging to me, and I still got it, not in this binder, but another one, Pastor Tim gave me this verse from 2 Timothy 4, verses 17. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I kept that verse on my first interview and even to my last, right there by me, because he stood with me and he strengthened me. And he does it daily. Doing it now. But another thing is, I wanted to share with you, and I'll try to be quick because I see where, I practiced this, and I thought it was like 30 minutes, and I'm like, already, I'm yakking enough. Went to a singles retreat. That's when I was single. It was in West Virginia about this time of year. It was beautiful. And they did these breakout sessions where you're in teams. And one of them was, the first one was like this web-looking thingy. And you had like a group of five or so people. And you had to determine which person you put through to get through on the other side of this web-looking thing. It was like holes, like a rope or something. And it was like small, large geographical shapes. And you had to determine how to get everyone from that team through it. But once they got on the other side, they don't go come back to help. So you try to, the first thing is you probably take the big guy, usually, and you get him to go in the one hole, and you don't use that hole anymore. So the others had to go through the other holes somehow using the team. And then when you're on the other side, you can, like if it's one of the holes at the top, you can help them lift the other one through. Well, we did that. We were a great team and all that. Then we did this. You get on a stump, and you get up on it with your back to the person. Hey, my back's to the internet now. And you do this, and you just fall backwards, trusting that people are going to catch you. Because if you stiffen up, it makes it hard on them when they catch you. You're supposed to be loose and trust them, and they can catch you, and it all works out. Guess who didn't trust them? I was told immediately after it was over, you didn't trust us, did you? No. But then finally, and this is, I look back and I'm like, you did that? It was a high wire type thing where it's like cables up in the top of these tall trees, and you had to, with harness and everything, you walk on these steps or on this cable, and you do this number, and people on their own ground are encouraging you, and you can do it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to quote verses and everything. But you're harnessed, you're okay, until you get to the very end. And it's like this cable all the way, like 30 feet across. You walk out to the middle, and they say, okay, now rappel down with your back to us. You're cabled, you're hooked. And they said, don't worry, when you come down, you're not going to fall off on your back. This person's on the other side, and she's going to hold you and counteract your weight. Now, I'm a big guy, 200-ish, small, tiny woman was going to counteract me. This is what happened. I go off the wire, if you can visualize it. I trust her, did a rappel. I go down, she goes straight up. Fortunately, Mark Butler is right there, and he grabs her. He grabs her belt. I make it down, not knowing what happened. But it was trust. And I have problems trusting people, but we trust God. Because it says in John 16:33, I have overcome the world. He's the one. So cling to God. Let our Father hold our hand. That's what it says that's one I wanted to get back to Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That was another thing, another verse to stay with. When I do my daily walks with Wiley, I would look and see the grass. I see the birds. We don't have to worry. I don't have to have those bleeding ulcers again. God is there. He's cling to him. And that's the encouraging words of Matthew. So be content. Philippians 4:11 through 13 says that. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatsoever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's what I was saying on those high wire. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But don't fear. Fear permeates our society. Just watch the news, read the paper. Get on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. I get so sick of Facebook sometimes. But yet, I still go to it. Be happy versus joyous. I say be joyous. Happy is, I always was told this, happiness is based on happenings. Let's be joyous. Like I said, we're saved, right? We got something to be joyous about. Peace. You can have peace. John 14:27, you know, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And you have hope. I want to quote Christopher Reeve, the best Superman ever on film. But he said, once you choose hope, anything is possible. And I feel like that's true. But we got God's word back at that, you know, to say that. The world doesn't, so why should we be all upset? Wait upon the Lord. He's going to renew you. That's what Isaiah 40:31 says. You know, he has defeated the world. That's what it said back in John. And rejoice in the Lord. Let's go back to Philippians 4. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And verse 8 through 9, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worth of praise, think about these things. And what you've learned and received and learned and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, I can't say I'm going to land the plane here because that's his. I'm going to pull the Batmobile. Man, I can't talk. I'm going to pull the Batmobile into the Batcave. There you go. We're going to endure. Do you remember, and I saw this again on a show called The Chosen. You remember the fishermen, the disciples who were fishing? And they were up all night. They just kept throwing the nets, no fish, until Jesus shows. And he tells them, cast your nets over there. And they were like, you know, I'm sure they were like, we were up all night. We just, they do it. And what happens is like they got, the boats almost sank with fish that they pulled in. Well, that was happened to me. Finally, after casting my net so many times, and I already had done my daily work, I always had a routine. While I was watching Doctor Who or something, I saw this. It was on LinkedIn. It was a job. I was like, I could do that. I've done that. I have that. So I rushed upstairs, got on my computer, submitted my resume, and did whatever it was. If I had to do an application, I can't recall now. And casted out my net. One last time, I thought. Or just cast it out. But a few days later, I got the call from AR, which is our version of HR. And I had an interview with the AR person. And then I had a second interview, which was with the hiring manager. And she kind of, you know, thought, you know, it was encouraging, it was. But at one point she said something like, you know, you may be overqualified. I didn't hear that one before. But Anyway, she said I might have a second interview, just look for a call. So I got off the phone, did the interview, and wasn't despondent, but I was going to press on. A few days later, I got a call from AR again, and the AR person said, well, how do you think you did? I said, well, I thought I did okay. I said, well, you must have done something right because we want to make you an offer. Praise the Lord. I did my happy dance. I was such a happy person. I got the job after all of this rejections and applications, after submitting, you know, casting out my net. But I wanted to say this before I go. She had three interviews, my boss did. I was the third one. I was the last one. She was going to hire somebody else. She was already dead set on one of the other two. Then she got me. I think it was my experience. What I had a certificate. Even though she thought I was overqualified, she chose me. But the thing about the other two, the first one actually got a job with my company in another department, and he started on the same day. The second one, the one she was going to hire, an opening came up in our department a few months later. He got a job. And the first one that was working in another department, another opening came up in our department like a week later. He got the job. So I'm sandwiched in between the two guys, the two other guys that interviewed for that job. God has a plan. We don't get it, but he has a plan. They were looking for work too, and we all got it. But despite all of that, what's important is we have eternal life. These things on earth, these disasters. And one of the things I wanted to close with is we still got a job to do. You may be flat on your back in a hospital bed. You may be in a funeral home crying your eyes out. You may be in an unemployment office. You may be doing this or that, whatever. We still have to go and tell. We got a gospel to spread to this world. Find a way to do it. Because behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? That's what he said in Jeremiah 32, 37. And I wanted to close on this. Psalm 31, 24. Be strong and let your hearts take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So my closing question is, who do you go when you break the glass? Who are you seeking? You break that glass for emergency. Is it the candy, the cookies, the chocolates, the drugs? Or do you go to the real solution to the problem? The real person who's going to take care of your situation, and that's God. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I hope and pray that this message was just an encouragement in some way to anyone that hears it, either here in this building or out on the internet. I just pray that you're glorified on a daily basis. And we just thank you again for this time. We just pray in your glorious name. Amen.